Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosque Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Roofing, and Restoration. For service, call 444-7200. Bosque Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. I'm joined in studio by a new friend, Dr. Sean Navin. Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to talk about my favorite nutrient, white sugar.
Yeah, I heard you like that a lot. I'm excited to talk about it with you.
Well, I hope everybody knows I'm being facetious, because I know as well as everybody that that's not a good thing. But Dr. Navin is a pharmacist, and he has recently stopped dealing drugs.
That is correct.
Yeah. And he's out now training people in lifestyle intervention for type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
Really, that's a big decision in your life, doctor.
Yeah. It was a crazy change for me, to say the least. I thought I was going to be a pharmacist my whole life. I did a bunch of training and education and certifications and this, that, and the other thing. And I thought that's what I was going to do. And I learned through my clinical experience that I just needed to pivot and make that change. So,
well, when we were meeting last week and kind of preparing for the show, you mentioned that, you know, you're passing out drugs that are obviously prescribed by endocrinologists and other doctors, and you started to get concerned that maybe that wasn't the answer.
Sure. I want to be clear. Medications are very powerful tools, and people need them for a variety of illnesses and diseases. So they are very critical tools. What I discovered is that, you know, people that are struggling with type 2 diabetes, you know, they'd be walking away with, you know, at times 15 to 20 meds in their bag. It looks like a grocery bag, literally, full of, you know, needles, test strips. And Jim, I think you're aware of that because you have family that has diabetes. So
yes, I do.
You're familiar with that.
Type 1 diabetic,
type 1.
Bit different.
So yeah, so I talk a lot about type 2. That's my focus, because this disease is definitely, and what I want people to take away, is definitely a lifestyle disease that you can go down a different path. You don't have to go down the path of meds and pinpricks and doctor's appointments all the time. You can go down a different path. So that's what I want people to take away. So when I was passing out drugs to people and medications, you know, people would ask me all the time, Sean, is this the only way? Am I going to be taking medications for the rest of my life? Now, in school, with our education in medicine and nursing, and I was in pharmacy, a lot of the message is, hey, you know what? Yeah, patients are going to have to take these medications their whole life. This is a chronic progressive disease. They have to take that. And so when people started to ask me that, and I should say, I wasn't just working at a Walmart or a CVS, at a retail pharmacy. I was in a federal uniform service. And I say that because that afforded me to work very closely with people to help, you know, control their insulin, make sure their A1C, which is a measure of their blood sugar, make sure they can get that under control. I was able to work with them, manage their medications, follow up with them one-on-one. Usually you're not doing that as a pharmacist. But when I was working with people in this fashion, which I was very privileged to be able to do, people would say, hey, you know what? Is this really it? Is like, am I doing everything right? Do I have to keep taking medications? And the more that I looked into it and through my own trial and error with diet too, it became clear to me that there is another way, and it doesn't have to be just medications. And eventually it was just, you know what? I'd rather, if I could just show one person how they don't have to go down that path, that is brutal, by the way. I mean, we can talk, if you don't know what diabetes does to your body, we can talk about that. But I'd rather, if I could have one person not go down that path, I'd rather do that than pump out 1,000 prescriptions in a day and think that I'm helping people. Again, medications are useful, just that it's not the tool every time.
Your breadth of experience is unique in that you worked a little bit up in Farmington.
Yeah.
Very closely with the Native American community, which I understand that type 2 diabetes is becoming more and more prevalent on the nations. Mm-hmm. And it is really across our United States, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. And what I, you know, with, it was a great experience to work on the Navajo reservation. I worked here in Albuquerque with a lot of, Pueblo communities. And, you know, initially what I, came to know and understood is that, hey, you know what? Native Americans have a high prevalence of diabetes, much more than the general population. And there's a lot of reasons for that, historical reasons for that, and access to food issues. But then what I started to realize is that it's not just, Native Americans. Sure, they have a little bit higher prevalence of diabetes, but diabetes is exploding across the world, and it has been for the past 30 years at least. I mean, the past 10 years, the numbers just aren't looking very good at all. And this is what I call the silent pandemic, because it's blowing up across the world. You know, there's more people living with diabetes in China than it's India. The U.S. is number three as far as just numbers of people with type 2 diabetes. So it's blowing up everywhere. So it wasn't just, but what I was starting to see, just to wrap this all up, is that it wasn't just Native Americans. It was, you know, I found out I had a family member who had it. A health professional colleague or some staff, people at the clinic had it. And so it's just starting to pop up in all these places. I actually was, during pharmacy school, we did some service work down in Puebla, Mexico. And, if any of my friends are listening and remember that trip, you know, we would go down there and work with indigenous communities there, and we were screening people for diabetes. And so it just started to pop up and come across in all these areas of my life. And that's when you have to start asking, okay, what's going on here? And that's what I did. And that's why I've become so passionate about diabetes, because I feel like everybody is susceptible to it and we need to do better. So
one of the other things we discussed last week was you talking about finding people in very early stages, like even pre-diabetic.
Sure.
And you really felt, at least you said to me, you felt really jazzed about being able to help people prevent diabetes when they get to that point.
Yeah, so if you have pre-diabetes, which is just the precursor to type 2 diabetes, so you might have elevations in your fasting glucose. So when you wake up in the morning, and if you were to prick your finger, it might be a little bit elevated. That's one way to check pre-diabetes. Or after a meal, after 2 hours after you eat a meal, you can prick it. And I don't want to get into the details there, but, if you have prediabetes, you're at very high risk for developing type 2 diabetes. And so you definitely want to nip it. That's a perfect time to nip it in the bud. And even if you are just diagnosed with full blown type 2 diabetes, the earlier you can get on top of it and start making those changes and interventions, the more likely you can just not even have diabetes in your vocabulary, because you can put it in remission.
Yeah. And it is a very, very serious condition, isn't it?
Oh yeah. So, sometimes I have to stop and step back and let people know, like, why are we talking about this? Right. So, let's just talk a little bit about that. So diabetes is where blood or your blood sugar starts to increase, because your insulin is not working very well for various reasons. And if you have elevated levels of glucose, which is a type of sugar, over time can lead to a lot of issues. So I talked about just lifestyle inconvenient issues, like, okay, you're going to have a bunch of meds, you know, it can easily pop up 5 meds right away, you know? So, okay, that sucks, right? You got to go to the doctor a lot. Okay, they're nagging you. Go diet and exercise. That's annoying, right? Well, the reason why is because I would see people come in, and again, this is something that is preventable, people, and that everybody, we're all susceptible to this because we're doing similar things, which is why I'm so passionate about this. But people are coming in with their legs not there anymore. Their foot is gone, because guess what? They were hiking like you or me. Like, I love to hike, but since they have a high blood sugar and they might have damage to their nerves, so they can't feel very well, they get a sore on their foot. It doesn't heal because the blood sugar is so high, and bacteria and other organisms like sugar like we do. So they lose their foot because they can't fight the infection, and you know, they might get their foot chopped off. And then, okay, now you're in a wheelchair your whole life.
And this is all happening silently, which is why you call it the silent pandemic.
Exactly. It's very insidious. It's happening over time. It's just there in the background. And that's just one thing. Diabetes is a major cause of blindness. I'm working with somebody right now whose grandma, lost her vision because of high blood sugar. It's a major cause of kidney failure. So, and this is something, again, I'm working with people. And once you have kidney failure, you're going to go on dialysis. So what is dialysis? Dialysis means your kidneys don't work anymore, and your kidneys are an organ that filter out toxins in your body. You need your kidneys. So if your kidneys don't work anymore, you have to go on dialysis, which means you get plugged up to a machine 3 days a week, half the day each day of the week. So you have no life, and that's the least of your worries. And you're getting hooked up to this machine so it can clean out your blood because your kidneys aren't doing it anymore. Diabetes leads to that. So blindness, kidney failure, amputations because you can't fight infections, heart attacks and strokes. I mean, it affects nearly every organ in our body.
So, Dr. Navin, tell us how you coach people and help them prevent these things from happening.
Yeah. So this is what I love because, and just to give a little bit more insight into this, why I felt comfortable leaving pharmacy is because I started to notice things that people are doing that I used to do that, through my own trial and error, I actually tried being a vegetarian for a year and didn't want to eat meat. And, but you know what? I don't think meat is bad. I just don't think we need to be eating as much as we're led on to believe. You know, I used to eat like sausage.
We don't need to be eating as much of anything.
Exactly.
That we eat in this country. We need to cut back everywhere.
Right. Balance, right? I mean, it's so simple, but not easy. So there's these, you know, I had this experience being a vegetarian. And what I noticed through that, again, I eat meat, but just not as much anymore, right? But what I noticed is that when you start to make changes in your life or, you know, your everyday routine, people start to notice that, and it's different from what they're used to. And they sometimes will bring you down about that, or they'll be negative about it, or they'll just say like, hey, what are you doing? Or, you know, because it disrupts them. So what I noticed here, and this is what I want you guys to notice if you're at home, is that when you start to make changes, people start to notice these things, and you're disrupting the way that we go about our lives every day. And we're kind of sleepwalking sometimes. Until we become aware of these things, you don't know until you make a change. So what I'm getting at with this is that I started to learn that we have these behaviors and subconscious tendencies throughout the day that lead us to do certain things that we think are normal that are not normal. So I remember when I was being vegetarian, that my uncle asked me, hey, aren't you going to get meat with that meal? We were at a restaurant. I just happened to order one meal without any meat. And a small example, but people I started to notice that, hey, we kind of have these expectations, these rules that aren't really written or spoken about. And if you start to change those, people are going to start to feel uncomfortable, but that's where you need to go to actually make those changes. So that's how I help people with my coaching is to say, hey, like, and I like to cook, but you know, not everybody cooks, and I might take it for granted, but if you don't cook, you're using your kitchen for storage and you never eat a meal at home. That's a problem that can put you at risk for diabetes. So, that's one way I might help somebody. Hey, like, and it sounds basic, but there's a lot of people out there that aren't doing those things. Or you know what? People are eating from the moment they wake up until they go to bed. The median American eats for 12 hours out of the day. And so, so that means a lot more people are eating more than 12 hours out of the day. So, hey, how do we refocus that? Why do you think you need to be doing that? And again, I do focus questioning. I'm not like interrogating people and making them feel uncomfortable. I'm saying, hey, Jim, you know, here's your goal that you want. You told me you wanted to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to show you how you can get there, but we need to talk and have a conversation as humans. And I want to see what you're doing and how you're living your life. And how we can.
And you're having an ongoing relationship, and there's some accountability.
Exactly.
And, and coaching. You know, Sean, I apologize in advance for talking about basketball. I just try to slip it in anytime I can because it's my favorite game. But
yeah, I don't blame you.
In coaching basketball, I noticed this about athletes. Anytime somebody felt pain, it could be from overexertion, it could be because they got hit in the head, whatever it was, they would always use the word confused. And I always believe that that's not really the case. When you feel pain, when you have some discipline that you are enduring, it's actually very simple. It's not confusing. It hurts. Mm-hmm. So there's no confusing about pain. And what I noticed is that if you can get people to work through the pain, everything becomes very clear. Mm. It becomes not easier, but it becomes simple.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and you can tell me if I'm picking up what you're putting down appropriately. I think if you are confused, let me back up. If you have pain, that might give you a clear answer of like what you need to focus on. If you're confused, it's just analysis paralysis. Like, what do I do? Like, do I eat carbs? Do I should I pass it to my teammate or go drive down the lane and lay it up? Or, you know, so confusion can make it hard to take action and know what to do. So, so I agree. And if you have pain, if your blood sugar is high, you're always getting nagged at the doctor. If you're starting to experience leg numbness or tingling in your extremities, those are signs that, hey, I need to do something right now. That's going to be a driver.
Loss of vision. And you don't really want to wait. Even when you're young, you need, I know people that go to the doctor for 10 years and they need to go to the doctor, but at the very least, they need to get blood tests because I know so many people. I'm 62 years old. I've got to have 20 friends that had to have had diabetes for 2 or 3 years before they ever knew they had it.
Oh, easily. And what I forgot to mention, Jim, before, that this is super important. So pre-diabetes, we talked about, is a precursor to type 2 diabetes. And it might take you a couple of years to get to type 2 diabetes once you have pre-diabetes. It's actually been shown that type 2 diabetes starts up to 20 years before you even get a diagnosis. So you can Google this. I mean, but there's clear evidence and research on this. So it can start 20 years before you actually get a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. So again, this is the insidious nature of diabetes. This is how we get seduced into just thinking we're okay. This is why people say, oh, you're, and this is what I hate when people, well, I get fired up, I should say, when people say, oh, well, you know, you're skinny, you're young, you can eat whatever, live it up, enjoy. You can't, because guess what? That's when things are happening. Like 20 years from now, this is how things get started. So these thoughts, these patterns, these expectations, beliefs we have, they put us in trouble. They get us in trouble. So.
Dr. Sean Navin, Transformation, he's talking about a service that he provides, coaching people, lifestyle coaching, intervention for diabetes. We're talking to Sean this afternoon, and if type 2 diabetes is something that you're faced with, I think you're going to find, especially in our next segment, that Dr. Navin is going to tell you there's all kinds of hope for you, but you got to get busy right now and take care of it. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or their social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520. If you missed the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home virtual open house and barbecue fundraiser on August 22nd, you could still participate by watching the event online at acch4kids.org. The home was established to care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Although we have lots of love to give, providing care also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acch4kids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Dr. Sean Navin, he has Dr. Navin Transformation. He works, he's a lifestyle coach for people that are wanting to prevent type 2 diabetes and people that may be dealing with it now. But I'm so glad that you've now told me I don't have to go to the gym anymore.
Yes, it's stop going to the gym. I know everybody's like, what? There's probably going to be crazy. There are people like, this guy's crazy. What is he talking about? So if you want to prevent diabetes, you know, maintaining an active lifestyle is always recommended. You want to, you know, do the stuff that you love. Play basketball, play tennis. If you're going to the gym, great. And if you want to reverse diabetes, and that's what I help people do too, not just prevent, but reverse. You can put type 2 diabetes in remission. What I tell people is stop going to the gym. So why do I say this is because when I was working, clinically, a lot of times what we would tell people upon diagnosis is, hey, you have type 2 diabetes. You know what you need to start doing, Jim? You need to start diet and exercise, go to the gym. And that's what people would hear. And the problem with that is that going to the gym should not be your first choice for lifestyle intervention because it's the least effective for what you need. So if you're telling me that you want to remodel the inside of your house because you're not comfortable there, the kitchen's not working, and then I tell you, okay, great, like go put a garden in your backyard, like cool, like that'll make your house look better, but that's going to do nothing with your kitchen. It's not the right place to focus. So stop going to the gym. I'm saying that because that's not the place you should start. If you think going to the gym to do bench presses and squatting as much as you are able to muster, but still eating crap at home, you're not going to get the results that you want. So exercise is very important. It's just not that important for, yes, weight loss. And so it helps control your blood sugar, but it's not the first thing you should go to. And I want to add, if people, you know, if you're a healthcare professional, and you're like, what is this guy talking about? You need to exercise to lose weight. I challenge you to find some evidence to support that and look at the DIRECT trial. And, this is a very important trial that demonstrates, evidence that people can reverse their type 2 diabetes with lifestyle intervention. So this was done in the United Kingdom. And, I'm not going to get into the specifics of this trial, but this was done in 2018, showed that people can, you know, if they lose enough weight and it seems to be about 20 pounds, and change their diet, they were able to achieve remission at 1 year in 60% of their patients. And they had about 300 patients in this trial. So DIRECT trial, you can Google that right now. See it. Roy Taylor is a principal investigator out of the UK. This is not like a private company. This is like government funded stuff, information you need to know about. So why I bring that up is because guess what? The people that achieved reversibility of type 2 diabetes in that study, guess how much exercise they did? They measured it. So they,
like as a percentage?
Just how much exercise. So, and let me say this. They measured exercise by having a little Fitbit or activity tracker.
Okay.
And they did that at the beginning of the trial and then the end a year or two later. If, you know, they're still following up a couple years later. Their exercise and their fitness didn't change at all. So what that is telling us is that exercise wasn't a critical component of their diabetes reversibility and they still lost weight. It's because of, it appears is the changes in nutrition. So exercise is important. Just don't focus on that right away. We'll do that later because fitness is important. It's important not just for, you know, controlling glucose in your bloodstream, but there's other benefits of exercise. I'm not saying that. It's just don't feel like you have to go and squat 150 pounds, right away to reverse your diabetes or lose weight.
Dr. Navin, we're going to talk about sugar a little bit, and some people think that's the white powder that comes in the CNH sugar bag that you buy at Albertsons, but sugar really comes in all kinds of things. For example, we have a nutritionist, Jennifer Bryan, who's on the show pretty frequently, and she says that if you find a food item, a prepared food item that says low fat, well, that just simply means they've increased the amount of sugar in it. And that can also come in the form of high fructose corn syrup. And these things are not good for you, are they?
Definitely not. And I agree with her 100%. If something says low fat, then they more than likely have compensated for that flavor because fat is flavorful, right? I mean, it makes things taste good. They probably compensated for that by just adding high fructose corn syrup or some other syrup. Sugar goes by a lot of different names, and that's why it's important to look at the food label. So I would challenge anybody listening at home right now. You can look inside your cabinet, go inside the fridge and pull out any sauces, dips, any liquids. And if you look at that food label and you look under carbohydrates, it's going to show you, you'll probably be surprised that there is a bunch of, it'll say added sugar, how many grams. And so, okay, it might be 1 or 2 grams, 3 grams. All these things add up. You're adding it to something in your lunch and your dinner. You have orange juice at breakfast with Lego My Ego and maple syrup. All those things compound like interest in your bank account and lead to problems. And all those things add up. And I don't know if your nutritionist talked about this, but the American Heart Association actually has some recommendations for added sugar. And they recommend that for men and women, you shouldn't be – so let's just talk about women. You shouldn't exceed 100 calories of added sugar, 100 calories. Just to give you an example of what that means, one can of Coke has 130 calories. So if you just have one can of soda in a day, you're already 30 calories over your limit of added sugar. And they have these limits because the American Heart Association, which is made up of a bunch of cardiologists and really smart doctors, know that sugars contribute to obesity, overweight, inflammation, and give you heart attacks and strokes. That's why they care about it. So all these things are in your cabinet, your kitchen potentially. Again, just look at the food label. And they add up to big, big problems over time. So it's super important.
Well, Dr. Sean, I want to share a story with you. One of my children was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 4. Mm. And, of course, when you deal with that, she went on an insulin pump a few years later, and you have glucose lows. So she'd get down to, say, 50. You're supposed to be around 100. And so we may not have any glucose tablets, or we may not have any gel. So we would grab a Coke.
Sure.
After I saw just one or two times how quickly her body reacted to that glucose or that blood, that sugar in a Coke, I've never had a soft drink since because it just goes right to your blood system, and that can't be great for your pancreas.
No.
So, hey, I want we're very close to out of time, and okay. I told you this goes so fast, it's ridiculous.
It's
but I want to let our listeners know how they get in touch with you and how they take advantage of your services.
Yeah, sure. So if anything that I've said interests you, or if you feel like you're struggling with your overweight, or you're just diagnosed with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes, I'd love to get in touch with you. And what you can do is check out some of my videos that I have on Facebook. That'd be the easiest way. Facebook.com/Dr. Sean Navin, and reach out to me. I can provide you free recipes, free mindset work, free exercises that you can do at home. And just check out some of my videos. And if what I'm saying makes sense to you, if you feel like you're ready to make a change, send me a message, and I'd love to hear what your challenges are.
Sean, I'm looking forward to getting you back on the air here. We're going to get through one of the biggest sugar holidays around next month.
I know.
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be better because the kids can't go out and trick or treat.
Yeah, I guess, there's always a silver lining in a lot of these situations. Maybe that's one of them. I don't know.
Well, I'm kind of disappointed. I can't go get that giant Snickers bar at the 7 to 11. And I used to have people tell me, oh, yeah, that's really healthy, eating a Snickers bar. Okay.
You're right, yeah.
I don't think it's the nuts,
right, man?
That's right. Dr. Navin, thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
It's been fun.